Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, July 8th. Coming up today, we'll hear from a lollipop lady in Medway whose life was saved by an off-duty nurse when she collapsed while on duty, and from Kent's Emma Raducanu after her decision to withdraw from the mixed doubles with Andy Murray. But first, taking a look at one of our most read stories today, 23 stackable homeless pods are being lifted into place in Ashford as an energy-efficient alternative to building more temporary accommodation. The site in Henwood Industrial Estate will offer shelter to those who need a roof over their head while they look for somewhere permanent to live. Each pod has its own kitchen, bathroom and private balcony. Dr. Rehan Kodabakis is from Z Pods.
In Ashford, we took a lot of learnings that we did from other schemes we've done around the country. We've completed around 80 zero operational carbon homes for people at risk of homelessness or in need of social or affordable homes. With Ashford, we were looking at how do we create a scheme where land is limited? How could we use an existing brownfield site rather than looking at fresh or greenfield sites to deliver homes in a very, very high quality way? Part of the interesting thing about it is not only have we got solar PV panels, batteries, and a really high specification for environmental performance, we're actually building above an existing car park. So that land was actually not developable in any other way, shape or form. So using our unique attributes and systems, we were able to bring that scheme forward. And there's a sort of very high level of landscaping that's going in there so that the external environment and the internal environment are both being high quality. And it means we can provide very good high quality homes for people at risk of homelessness, along working with our key partners in Ashford Borough Council.
And just for our listeners, what do these pods look like on the inside and also the outside? Obviously, it's on an industrial estate, isn't it? But it will be quite a nice place to live.
Yes, so we do a lot of attention to detail in what we do inside. So we play a lot with daylight. So we bring a lot of natural daylight inside so they're nice, bright and airy. We have controlled ventilation that goes in there as part of the energy strategy. And what that means is that you get lots of fresh air, but you keep the heat within the building. So that's going to reduce energy bills even further. Then you've also got the solar PV panels on there that's generating more energy when the building is going to consume over the course of the year, which will really help drive down the energy costs of the scheme as well. There are, again, lots of sort of nice floor finishes in there that are hard wearing, but really, really nice and bright colours, very neutral colour decor inside. And with the natural daylight, it makes a really, really nice place to live. Our buildings also have breathable wall build-ups, which means that moisture doesn't get trapped within the building. So there's a very low risk of condensation inside, which means that we have low risk of mold growth. So we really sort of focus on addressing those key issues that have sort of been brought up in social housing within recent times. So not just the internal quality, but also with fire safety, making sure that we've got A-rated materials for fire safety in there. We never use anything that has combustible cladding, which means that we never have done, so that all the buildings are meeting the top levels of fire safety as well.
And I know homelessness is a big problem across Kent and in Ashford as well. I mean, what kind of difference will this make to people's lives who are maybe sleeping rough or sofa surfing or even sleeping in their cars?
Yeah, I think sometimes it gets underplayed that sort of the importance of having a home in the first place, but having your own front door, so having your own keys to your own place, makes a really, really big difference in people's lives. And what we found in schemes that we completed in Bristol and in Newport in Wales, it really sort of created these, what we like to determine as sort of upward spirals for people. So people that got into a place of themselves, they got very good jobs, held down that that employment and led to future employment, which meant that they're sort of in this upward spiral, and having that base home, having your base needs met is a really important thing to create and to kick on in life. And it's meeting those basic needs is very, very important. And we hope that we've done it in a way that not only protects the people that are moving in, but also protects the environment and also looks at creating the homes that we need in the future now.
And is this something that could potentially be picked up by other councils in other parts of Kent or the rest of the country?
Yeah, we really, really hope so. I mean, we've got about 7 schemes with planning approved across the country at the moment. We've got another 10 plus schemes within planning or various stages of construction. So we're really driving through as many homes as we can do across the UK. We think there's a big impact, a big potential in lots of different parts of Kent, and to look at some of those local authority sites that may have been overlooked for housing, because really it's providing windfall housing that's not being developed for other purposes, and using that to deliver houses for people at risk of homelessness.
The project is on track to be finished by September.
Kent Online News.
A thief from Maidstone who racked up almost 100 convictions has been sent to prison. Michael Scott was waiting to be sentenced for other shoplifting offences when he stole meat from Tesco, Sainsbury's and a BP garage in January last year. The 53-year-old who lives in Tunbridge Road was sentenced to 150 days and must pay more than £150 in compensation. A court has heard how a man found with heroin and cocaine in Chatham told police he only became a drug runner because he had a big debt. Robert Herbert was stopped in Maidstone Roan in 2019 because he was acting suspiciously. He told office he'd hit a low point in his life. The 56-year-old who lives in Stanford La Hope in Essex has been charged and will face a sentencing hearing next year. Major damage has been done to a shopping centre near Dartford Crossing after a fire broke out. Crews were called to Lakeside in Thurrock at around 3 yesterday afternoon. Smoke was seen coming through the roof of the car park. No one was injured and an investigation into the cause is now underway. A Kent animal charity has come to the rescue of a pregnant cat who was found taped up inside a box. She was discovered last Friday morning at Luton Wreck in Chatham. It's believed she'd been trapped inside for 4 or 5 days. She's not been microchipped despite it now being a legal requirement and is now in the care of Wisteria Cat Rescue. There are concerns growing for a pensioner who's gone missing from Swanley. 85-year-old Jean Mason was last seen just after 7 last night. Police say she may appear confused. She's thought to be on foot or using public transport. We've shared her picture at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Bosses in Kent have opened a review into plans to drastically scale back the number of children eligible for special needs school places. Kent County Council have revealed proposals to address what it says is an over-reliance on special school placements, with concerns some places are being taken by children who don't necessarily have the most complex needs. Families have described the move as terrifying. Anyone wishing to have their say has until the end of the month. Campaigners are petitioning for village green status to be given to land in Whitstable to stop a SEND school being built. KCC want to build a 120-place educational centre within Church Street playing field, but some residents argue it would be unfair to those who like to use the space for leisure. They say the authority selected the grounds without public consultation and the village green bid will help protect the land forever. Residents of a gypsy and traveller site in Gravesend say living conditions are so bad they're better off in prison. There are complaints the Denton caravan site off Daring Way and Shamrock Road is not run properly and ridden with rubbish, rats and no hot water. A spokesperson from council said maintenance at the site is difficult as a hostile environment can often make it dangerous for contractors and staff to gain access. Protesters will gather outside an Amazon warehouse in Dartford today as workers push to force the company to recognise a union for the first time in the UK. A vote is taking place today and if backed by a majority, Amazon will be forced to negotiate with the GMB.
Kent Online News.
A lollipop lady from Medway says she's lucky to be alive after collapsing with heart failure whilst on duty. Debbie Marsh was helping pupils cross the road outside Hoos and Werber Primary School on Monday when she started to feel unwell.
I just went to work like normal, said hello to the parents and children, and then just got dizzy and it just got worse. I'm glad the salt box was there so I could sit on it because I knew I was gonna go, so faint or something. So yeah, and then the parent who stayed in the car to keep an eye on me, she came over to see if I was all right. All I remember really is the lady of the two girls coming over and asking if I was all right, and I said, no, I'm still dizzy. And then she stayed with me, and then Ella, one of the new TAs, she came up and ran and got me some water to see if that would help, because I just couldn't shake the dizziness. And then Keely, who works in the Marlborough Centre now, I remember her coming and she was holding my hand. And after that, I remember absolutely nothing.
And then the ambulance came. And what happened after that?
James and Molly, who were fantastic, by the way, said that I had two responders, the ambulance, two police cars and a fire engine come out, and an air ambulance on standby. And I didn't believe him. I was like, no, go away. And he said, no, Debbie, you stopped breathing. and someone had to do CPR because you literally stopped breathing, your lips went blue, you were not responsive, out in and out of consciousness, and yeah, you were pretty bad.
And what did they say would have happened if you hadn't got the CPR?
They said that I was really lucky it didn't happen on my own, because worst case scenario, I would have gone into shock and had a heart attack.
And so now are you a little bit worried that something might happen again?
Yes,
it's an inherited condition.
It is a genetic condition, but this is the worst it's ever been. I've collapsed, but nothing, it's like a faint. And I've always come out of it, but this time it was major. So to have all them around, police and everything round, and then realise, no, you know, you nearly died. So last night I was like, I don't want to go to sleep. How am I going to wake up? So I woke up a few times. My poor husband was tired. He was up most of the night. And then I've just had so many people come and look after me, make sure that I'm all right. The amount of messages I've had is unbelievable. Honestly, unbelievable. I'm loved, which is nice. But yeah, it is actually amazing. But I am scared it's going to happen again.
An off-duty nurse had to perform CPR after she stopped breathing. Ambulance crews then took her to hospital. It was caused by a genetic heart condition, which led to the early death of her dad and cousin. Shoppers in Dover are being reassured there are no plans to knock down a town centre mall and replace it with flats. There had been fears the Charlton shopping centre would be lost to make way for 226 flats. Bosses say they had a meeting with the landlords 3 weeks ago and there are no plans for redevelopment. Overnight closures on the M2 and A2 start tonight. The London-bound carriageway from Junction 2 of the M2 to the Darrenth interchange with the M25 will be shut for essential maintenance work. It'll be closed from 9 p.m. until 6 a.m. every night until next Friday, excluding the weekend. There are fears an increase in crime and overstretched council budgets are putting Kent's public toilets at risk. Maidstone, Dover, Tunbridge Wells, Ashford, Gravesham and Dartford are among the Kent districts to all have fewer council-owned and run blocks today than they did 14 years ago. It's raised suggestions people could soon pay to use the facilities to make them more cost efficient. A Kent businessman has lashed out at bosses in Tunbridge and Morling for failing to make a decision on his planning application for 2 years. The submission was made in 2022 to redevelop the Hadlow Manor Hotel at Goose Green into 6 flats and build an additional 6 detached homes. The vacant property has been targeted by vandals. The owner says the delay is costing him money. Council admits some factors have slowed the process down, but say it will now be determined by the planning inspectorate.
Kent Online News.
A building which used to be home to a nursery in Chatham before its sudden closure will go up for auction. Sunflower Nursery moved out of the site in Jenkinsdale more than 18 months ago, leaving 48 families in the lurch. It's now been given a £350,000 price tag and will go under the hammer later this month. Plans have been lodged to build new houses behind a service station between Hythe and Canterbury. Developers want to demolish workshops behind 6 Mile Garage on Stone Street in Stelling Minas. They say the new homes will be a better fit for the tree-lined surroundings. A decision is expected by the end of August. Ashford's 5th co-op store is set to open on a controversial new build estate. Bosses of the chain have agreed to open on the large Burton development in Kennington, which will eventually have 725 new houses. It'll be just off Willsborough Road and will create around 15 jobs. Tennis players have been left angry at plans to introduce charges at formerly free courts in Ashford. From July 21st, it'll cost £6 per hour to play on 2 courts at Spear Point Recreation Ground in Kennington. The site operators say it'll make tennis more accessible to everyone. Locals say it will put people off playing altogether.
Kent Online News.
Our sister station, KMFM, has launched a campaign to make sure no one in Kent goes hungry this summer. It can be a particularly tough time of the year for families with children that normally get free school meals. Tons of tins will collect donations to help replenish food banks. Sarah Culcutt from Cranbrook is chief executive of food charity City Harvest that's just published a report on childhood hunger.
The findings are really stark, frankly. It is honestly what common sense tells us. If you don't eat properly, it affects every aspect of your life. But what we're really seeing in this report is that link between mental health and challenges around food in your early years, and how hunger throughout your lifetime has an enormous impact on your mental health and your ability to have resilience towards the things that life throws at you. And so this terrible cycle of being hungry as a child and some of the challenges that then come with lack of education and lack of access to education through hunger, and how that then has an adverse impact throughout your life.
It does seem quite extraordinary that in 2024 we are talking about children experiencing so much hunger, but we've done many a story about schools, you know, teachers having to buy breakfast for pupils, and you know, just such a difference it makes if a child comes to school and they're hungry compared to a child who comes to school and has had a good start to the day and has had breakfast. I mean, it's
absolutely
incredibly concerning.
Yeah, you had the NUT report last year that said that 26% of NUT members fed children in their classes last year, and they saw that number rising rather than falling. And this report talks exactly about that. I mean, if you're looking, there's a section which talks about children and young people. We work very closely with a group called London Early Years Foundation. And so they're looking at addressing nutritional deficits at a very early age. Now, we supply a lot of food in there, so they provide a very, very healthy, balanced diet, rich in fruit and vegetables, to all the children that go through that nursery service. But also, because the food is free when it comes from us, it facilitates additional hours to other families. But then there's also services wrapped around there where there is food to take home. And we're working with an increasing number of primary schools where there is an overt offering of a food bank on a Friday, or there's also a quiet offering where under the guise of nutritional education and learning how to cook, there's a parcel of food that goes home with a child on a Friday. And it means that there's at least two decent balanced meals heading into that household for the whole family unit. So you're addressing what happens, you know, in school time, but then also what is happening at home as well.
I'm sure it's not an easy answer, but how have we ended up in this position where food poverty is such a big issue?
It's a really complicated challenge. It crosses many government departments, and it actually affects absolutely everybody in every walk of life now. You know, that there's a real challenge with those that were just getting by 5 years ago, that they might have occasionally been the person that put their buy one, get one free extra in the bin to go to a food bank. But now money just doesn't go far enough. Wages do not stretch far enough. There's this, you know, growing group of people loosely classified as the working poor. They can just about pay the mortgage, pay the rent. They can just about pay the electricity, the gas, the water. They can just about find secondhand school uniform shoes for their children. But what they can't find is enough money to put a healthy diet on the table, or any food indeed. You know, that growing portion who are 40, 50 pounds a week short. And of course, in that group as well, there's no savings. So there's no resilience. You've got a growing number of households that don't have a fridge, don't have a freezer, don't have a cooker. Because they're very expensive to run. So if the electricity bill is a challenge, you know, and if you're on a card, you're paying more money than those that pay monthly, and you can't replace it, or you can't keep the payments up on it, which is increasing the challenge. You know, there's not enough money once you've paid the core bills to then pay to keep a cooker, but then you probably can't afford to turn it on. It's really desperate. And of course, you've got then the big challenge is the isolated elderly. You know, harder for them to cook. There's no Meals on Wheels service anymore anywhere, because that's a discretionary service provided by councils as their budgets have shrunk. There's no Meals on Wheels. There's no cheerful guy that's going to bring you dinner on a Tuesday. You don't have so many community centres. And so you've got this sort of, you know, downward cycle of isolation, depression, malnutrition. There's a big, big complicated challenge here for all age groups.
Last year, we collected more than 6.7 tonnes of food. Find out how you can donate at kmfm.co.uk. It's been 25 years since the closure of a busy Medway hospital. All Saints in Chatham became part of the newly established National Health Service in 1948 and was one of the largest hospitals in Kent. It closed in 1999. A public exhibition is on today, which will include photos and memorabilia. And we're being urged to consider the work of Kent's unsung heroes today as we mark International Paramedics Day. This year's theme is The Difference We Make, which shines a light on how paramedics respond to life-threatening emergencies and provide care and comfort to patients. To celebrate the day, there'll be Thanksgiving services, community outreach programs and workshops.
Kent Online Sports.
Tennis now in Kent's Emma Raducanu says she has no regrets after a difficult end to her Wimbledon campaign. A last 16 defeat to qualifier Lulu Sun ended British hopes in the singles. It followed her decision on Saturday to pull out of a mixed doubles match with Andy Murray. She says she was attempting to protect a sore wrist and back.
I have to prioritise myself and my singles and my body, and I think it was the right decision. I stand by the decision, and yeah, obviously it was a tough decision though, because it's something that I've always wanted to do. I think, you know, with every decision, people are entitled to their opinions. Of course, there was a bit of a cloud around the decision, but I don't think I would have done it any other way. I think, you know, in this sport, especially as an individual, you have to make your own calls and prioritize yourself. And, you know, especially with my history, I just had to put myself first.
And briefly in cricket, disappointment for Kent in the T20 yesterday. They were beaten by Surrey by 5 runs. Rain delayed the start of play at the Oval and the Spitfires finished 81 for 3 after being set a target of 87. They'll travel to Essex for their next match on Thursday. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.